Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Well, today I'm going to talk about karma because it's so important, and because I have thinking about karma on the way here from the Marina del Rey. I was down there working on my boat. We're going to talk about different types of karma today, and people will say, why is that, Farley? Why are we going to talk about karma? That's a good question. No, I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to love relationships, particularly, okay, when it comes to love relationships, oftentimes what happens is we fall in love with people, and in the end result, we don't feel comfortable with them, or there's something about them that is not right. And what we're not realizing, because we're not truly psychic beings that are capable of what we call instant regression, like some people, right? what we don't realize is that the person we're with is someone we do love very much and someone we are attracted to very much. But the karma relationship that is involved here isn't always a lover-lover karma. That's my point. You see, like, you can only be born to one set of parents, right, in a particular lifetime. So along the way, you might meet a mommy or a daddy from 10, 15 lifetimes ago, from 500 years ago or something, and fall in love with them and want to marry them. And here they are, your father. Okay, and then you'll start to get romantic with them, and all of a sudden you'll say to yourself, like, wow, this isn't near as romantic as some of the other ones I've had, or why do I feel so strange or guilty when I'm with this person? And then you'll also note astrologically that when you look in your chart, that you will share common numbers with individuals like this. You know, more times than not, let me tell you something about karma, and let me tell you something about soulmates. I want to make something as Farley-ocious clear as possible. If you have karma with somebody, and if they are a soulmate, this does not necessarily have to be good. I want to make that clear. You know, people always say, Farley, this is my soulmate. I'm so excited. I have karma with him. Hey, you know, when you have karma, the energy of karma, the vibration of karma, what that means is that you are in class. You are taking a lesson. You are trying to fix a mistake or resolve a problem. Okay? Let me make that clear. So if you're with somebody, the reason why you feel a pull to people that you have karma with, and the reason why you feel a pull to your soulmates for that reason, and soulmates are identified on this show, from my point of view, they may be identified differently, but from my point of view, a soulmate is somebody that would catalyze so much karmic growth in you, it would be comparable to a volcanic eruption, okay? So when you do say somebody's your soulmate, look out, you know, because that's like the 15, 20-year marriage that ends in an explosion of emotion and hatred and violence and vengeance and all that stuff. Well, that, you know, that's what karma's all about. So when you do find that you have exact numbers in your chart with other people, number one, you know there is a karma. I don't care what the number is. If you have your moon at 15 Pisces and the person you're seeing has any 15s at all in their chart anywhere, I don't care if it's 15 Leo quinks your moon or 15 Virgo oppose your moon or 15 Sag square it or 15 Gemini also square it, whatever it is, that means that there is a vibration there, because similar numbers are situations in astrology where we can identify what we call reflections or mirrors of the soul, okay? So when you have I have number 18 on my chart, my Leo sun. If any of you out there have 18 in your chart in any sign, then you have one of my mirrors in your chart. So that means that there would be a reflection or a karma there that would result in a possible growth experience or lesson, you know, which isn't always fun. It can definitely be painful. Well, let me get down here to different types of karma here and try to explain it for you. First of all, you have to realize that when you meet people, if you try to be objective and you don't let your heart or your mind or your soul run away with you, then oftentimes what I try to say to myself, okay, this is a beautiful woman, she's got a great body, or I love her personality, I'm attracted to her, my impulse is to make love to her, to get married to her, whatever. You know, you gotta say to yourself, you gotta say objectively, okay, well, first of all, let's try to karmically figure out what the connection here is. Is this somebody that I've been a lover with? You know, is this going to feel normal? Is this someone that perhaps was my child in most of my past lives? Or maybe my father or my mother, you know. It's like you get involved in a relationship, and sometimes it takes 6 months, sometimes it takes a year, and sometimes it can take 5 or 10 years. And eventually you say to yourself, what's wrong with this sex life here? You know, why do I feel incestuous or uncomfortable after I make love to this person? What's going on here? And then you go get a past life regression or a reading from Farley or your psychic reading, and they say, oh, yeah, well, this guy Farley was your son in most of your past lives, and you've come back to try and work this out and make a peace. And here you are. You want to marry Farley, and, of course, he's not your son now. It's true. I'm not your son now. But the karma that occurred that brought us together was due, perhaps, to a mother-son relationship. See? And when you come to grips with that, and the karma starts running hot, that we say, you know, and I'm not telling all of you were my mothers out there, but when the karma starts running hot, then and you notice that there is an uncomfortableness, perhaps, or some kind of vibration that does not seem natural, then you start coming to grips intuitively with what the karma is. You know, it has happened to me many times where I've met women in my life, and I've had some wonderful relationships, and eventually I will either identify them as a mother figure or a father figure or a brother figure, right? Here's a woman who could have been my best friend, you know, warriors together in 5, 6 past lives, and then all of a sudden he comes back as a beautiful, attractive woman I'm trying to have sex with. I'm my pal here. And then after like 6, 7 months of this, I'm looking at her like, you know what? I don't think this is normal here. There's something really wrong with this relationship, you know. And what that's really what happens oftentimes. We make the mistake of either misidentifying a karma, or once we do identify objectively what the relationship is between two people, instead of running away from it, you know, what we should do is embrace it and live what is most comfortable. You know, like if you're dating someone and eventually they feel like your mother or your father, you know, a lot of women, a lot of men will go, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be your mother. I don't want you to say that. You know, I want to be your lover, you know. But right away, you're objective and you feel this maternal son thing that is not a lover-lover bond, and you try to tell her about it, and right away she freaks. She'll freak out, you know, and she'll go berserk. And then the karma gets worse, and then she can't let go or unprocess you, just like maybe she could never let go of you as a son. And all she has to do is sit back and think about it and say, you know what, the sex in this relationship is not perfect. And this man's son is square my moon. And this man's Mars is square my moon also. And you know what? Instead of losing this person out of my life, I'm going to embrace it. If he wants to be just friends with me because it feels weird as mother-daughter or whatever, mother-father from a past life, mother-son, then I'll go ahead and deal with that, and I'll be his friend. And that way the karma goes poof and evaporates, and both beings grow, and their awareness changes. And they become more powerful. That's what the beautiful part about karma is. And that's what the benefit about, I'm glad I'm Farley Malaris, because I have reached a point in my growth where long ago I was able to recognize karmic relationships and do my damnedest, or my blessedness, right? To work a piece out and to make it up, to work it out. You know, it's funny, when you are in a relationship with somebody that is truly a lover or a husband or a wife from a past life, then you'll know it. Because romantically, it's good. The erotic feelings on both sides are secure. There's balance, and it's consistent. It lasts for a long time. You know, the balance in that relationship is good. And without two people trying to fool each other or force something that's unnatural or uncomfortable, then oftentimes they know that. You know, what is weird is that sometimes two people that have naturally been one being the male and the other being the female in most of their past lives will come back in this earthly life in reversed roles. This time the guy's the girl and the girl's the guy, and they feel uncomfortable with their own sexual identity for that reason. It has nothing to do with a mother-daughter or father-son or friend-friend type relationship. It's just that you're in a wrong body, a different body. So getting used to new equipment can be kind of bizarre, you know, and where, and you know, oftentimes when we deal with relationships, we don't sit down and think about these things that Farley Malaris rattles his brain with constantly to try to figure out who's playing what role and why we're doing what weird thing. But you see, what people do is they allow their emotions to run away with themselves. And they go ahead and they feel a pull with another person and they fall in love with them. And they invest all their soul and power into that person and feel like dying if they're taken away from them. And they become viciously and violently jealous if anyone else gets near them. Sounds like somebody's mother, doesn't it? Don't you touch my son or I'll kill you, you know. It's like, and that's why this jealousy and this possessiveness and this vindictiveness and this obsession of love is not always healthy, because it's coming from a place that we always can't pinpoint. You know, it's like, let's say I'm walking around in the world and I meet a woman who has been my favorite daughter in 10 of my past lives. 10! I mean, like, this woman is like my pumpkin pie kid. I'm 10 of, and she sees me in this life on earth. She's not my daughter this time. But because we are so close, our souls are so bound, you know, there's an attraction that's irresistible. It's like love at first sight. And you get all involved and fall in love with them and, yeah, start having sex and everything and making love and stuff. And then like 2 weeks later, one of the other sits down and goes, you know, like, now that we've gotten over the initial attack here of this relationship, it seems to be changing a little bit. Sometimes the next day, in the morning. Do you ever, you know, I don't know if you ever had a love affair with somebody, even if you wait months before you get close to them, and you finally make that love and have the bond occur, and the next morning you both wake up and you look at each other and it's like, uh-oh, I think we either destroyed a beautiful friendship or a beautiful relationship of some kind from a past life here, because that's what we're talking about. So what the point of this topic, and I always try to give you a point in every topic, is to let you know, number one, let's take a look at your current relationships, okay? Or you have a relationship out there that doesn't seem sort of kosher? It doesn't perhaps go as consistent as you like it to? Maybe it doesn't have that 100% punch that you're looking for mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually? Maybe that you fight with each other, or one person isn't as sexy as the other one, or the other person is oversexed, the other one's undersexed, one's inhibited, the other one's not. You know, if there's some kind of imbalance, maybe you should sit down in a quiet space, in a peaceful center, ground yourself, and focus objectively on what the karma is here. Are you looking at someone that was your brother or best friend? Or someone that was your daughter or your son? Or maybe somebody that was your mother or father in a past life that you have now fallen in love with because you feel the closeness, and maybe the reason why they're acting like a son or a daughter or a mother or a father or a best friend is because they are, in fact, that entity in your past lives. You know, the funny thing about life that blows me away, and the more spiritual and the more psychic you become, you'll know, because you'll start to recognize these differences in karma. When you get to a point where you can recognize a karmic difference, which means when you can look at someone, like say you're a woman, and you look at your relationship with your man, and you say to yourself, gosh, I mother this guy, he's my kid, we almost never have sex, and that's what he is, he's been my son. And you recognize the karma. Well, what does that tell you? Does that tell you should pursue this individual and marry them, and complicate it even more? So you have to come back in yet another lifetime and still try to process a complicated set of emotions that you're already in a vortex with, and it becomes a circus after a while? No. What it really says is to sit down and say with the guy, you know what? I think you're right. I think that maybe it is uncomfortable, and I think maybe we were in a mother-son relationship in our past lives, and I think maybe that's the way it should be. So let's cut off all this physical contact and be friends and get along with each other. Make a peace, and poof, the karma evaporates and you both grow because you have the courage enough to face up to what the lesson is. You know, I always like to sit back, and whenever I'm in pain, You know, whenever. I don't care what it is. If I, you know, I'll walk away from some new person I'll meet, and, you know, you walk away and you just got your thumb in your mouth, you go, oh, God, that person, I just wanted to jump them or whatever, and you get really excited. I like to sit down and say to myself, gosh, I'm spiritual. Why am I getting obsessed with this individual? And I'll sit back objectively for a moment and say, what is the lesson here? What is the karma in this situation? Before I jump into anything and complicate it anymore and create a situation that may not work itself out, let me objectively try to figure out what it is. You know, sometimes you have to experiment. You know, sometimes you have to get close with someone if you feel that need to get close with them, because sometimes after you get close with them, or during, then the karma becomes clear. You know, like you'll finish being involved in a very intensely erotic experience, then all of a sudden you'll wake up in the morning and go, whoa, I'm best friends with this person, and I just had sex with him. Real good, kid. But anyway, it's another thing that could happen that could really blow your mind is you might wake up the next day and realize that there is not as much karma as you think. That it really isn't a soulmate connection, but that you are really bonded souls, that you are lovers, in fact. There's a positive and a negative, a plus and a minus charge, a polarity that brings you together, and that you are meant to be in a male-female type role without any interference from past lives. That does happen. You know, it either happens when there's a twin flame situation, when the souls are so close that I believe they're almost like one soul that's been divided in two, or it just happens to be someone you have karma with in past lives, but only in a role as a lover. See, mistakes some of us make, and the reason why there's so much complicated family karma and child molestation and child abuse and all this craziness that goes on in family units is because souls hop around. And they come back as a mother, as a father, as a lover, as a, you know, and meanwhile, you're the individual that's having a relationship. One lifetime, this person's your wife. Next lifetime, they're your daughter. Then they come back your mother, and then they come back your father, and then they're your lover again. And you're trying to look at them in one relationship, and you're sitting there going, gosh, I feel really weird about this relationship. There's a problem here. You know, and that's the relationship when the karma is so intense that sometimes it's even better just to make a peace and say goodbye. You know, I've had that. I've had relationships with people where we were so close that you knew that we had played every role possible in a relationship. And every one of them came up. Every single one of them came up. And after a while, we just looked at each other and said, this stuff's got to end. Goodbye. God bless you. Have a good life and see you in the light. And it's just over. And the growth comes in. And oftentimes, the funny thing about evolution of the soul, which is what karma is all about, evolution of the soul, basically the definition of that means that your soul gains awareness and becomes more aware of its multidimensional self and its conscious mind when it learns its lessons. When the lessons are passed, it's like a graduation, you know. And once you get it down, then you go through a period that you graduate, you uplift, and that puts you into a situation where finally you're given some idea of what's really going on. And that's what helps you see the picture in better perspective, more objectively, the next time you get involved. And you know what I love about absolution of karma and soul growth more than anything else, what I really do love, and what blows my mind about the whole thing, is that when you do fix something, when you do work something out, and when you do make a peace with your own soul, you know, that allows you to be so powerful that you're finally given the will to give up that bad habit that's been bugging you. You know, like I know so many people that when they get so traumatized by these complicated karmic relationships, where the person you're with has been your mother, your father, your daughter, your sister, your brother, your lover, 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 you know, whatever, you this life you're straight, last life you were gay, and the life before that you were bi, whatever, it gets crazy, you know. You reach a point where you break up with the person and finally you're able to give up the drugs. You don't need to drink anymore. Finally, cigarettes are no use. You know, I know myself, because of a karma in a relationship, I stopped smoking cigarettes in 1982, because after we absolved it, I had so much will, it was over. And I never had to pick up. I haven't smoked a cigarette since in about 7 years now, not one cigarette. And I'd probably be dead now if I kept smoking, you know, because cigarettes kill. They do. Don't deny it. They do. And, same thing with alcohol. A lot of people knock themselves out and put themselves into these karmic vortexes, these circuses, where there's no way out. You're like a rat trapped in a maze and you can't find the exit. And until you fix the problem and bless it and center it and embrace it and let it go, it hangs on you and drains you like a leech, like a vampire. You know, and then once you identify the karma, you either make up your mind that what are the options? Well, we're either going to get married, right? I'm talking about love relationships, or we're going to be friends, or it's so intense that I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. And maybe the next time we see, it'll be in passing in the street where I go, hey, hi, Betty, or hi, Jim, or whatever, you know. And those are the options. I mean, like, people sit there and go, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? I'll die. You know, it's, of course you'll die. Everybody's going to die. Everybody got to die, you know, Red. But the thing is that what you got to do is objectively look at what the karma is and make your choice. Either go forward with the relationship, become their friend, or set it off. Set sail and say goodbye and make a peace. And then you'll be doing what you're supposed to be doing on earth with love relationships. You'll be absolving your karma, you'll be evolving your soul, and you'll be reaching higher levels of spiritual growth and awareness, which is what life on earth is all about. And what I say, you know, I want to remind you that to know you have karma with someone, it's all in the numbers. Like, I have a 8-degree, almost 9-degree north node in Taurus, and an 8-degree, almost 9-degree south node in Scorpio. I have a Venus at 5 Cancer, and I have Neptune at 10 Libra, and I have Mars at 15 Libra, and I have Moon at 17 Scorpio, and Sun Mercury at 18 Leo, and then I have Saturn at 20, rising at 20 Libra, Saturn at 25 Leo, and Uranus at 29 Gemini, with Pluto at 14 Leo. So anybody out there that has numbers, ready? 5, 10, 14, 15, 17, 18, 20, 25, or 29, or 8, or 9, then I got karma with you. And the more numbers you got, the more karma I got. And sometimes you'll even have karma with people that don't even have any of your numbers, but boy, does it get eerie when you find that people have a lot of your numbers, or at least one. And it could be in any single sign. Like, I'm looking at a friend's chart here. They have an 18 Sag. That's exactly trine my Sun Mercury in Leo. And they have a 14 Virgo. And I got a 14 Pluto. And they have an 8 Scorpio Moon on my south node. So there's three numbers right there. So, you know, so I got karma with it. There's something going on between that person and me. See when you have that. And you know, obviously, the more freaky it gets is when you have things sitting right dead on top of someone else's planet. Same sign, same degree. Then you know, and by the way, let me correct myself. You never have karma with another person. Remember, that person is always your reflection, because all there is you. You're the center of the universe. That's all there is. So everyone else is like an extension or a tentacle of yourself. You know, you're always doing this to yourself. The karma is always with you. It's the tentacle or the other person that helps you understand the lesson. They're the teacher. They're trying to show you what the problem is here, and it's up to you to pass the test and make the grade there. And you know what I do love about this topic, and I think a lot of you are excited after hearing this show, is because this should help you understand your relationships better. I mean, where are you going to hear this stuff at? What book are you going to pick up and read that's going to explain to you the different types of karma from people that you want to love? I mean, I'm sitting here saying to myself, this topic here is unbelievable. You know, like, you hear this stuff on the radio, unless you're an evolved being and understand what I'm talking about, people won't understand it. But if you hear what I'm saying, you're sitting there going, Farley, no wonder, I married my father, you know, it's like a relationship doesn't have to be a blood relationship to feel incestuous or to feel uncomfortable, you know? Sometimes it gets a little bizarre, it really does. Okay.